Welcome, welcome, welcome. So you experienced a little snapshot of soaking. We always do about a half an hour before we actually do a prayer ministry session. But mainly the reason why we do that is because we want to learn information from God directly about the person that we're ministering to. So we would also say a prayer of, Lord, give us the, let's say the person's name is Trudy. Is there a Trudy in here? Okay, old-time name. And so we would say, Jesus, give us your agenda for this, what we're going to do with, or how you're going to minister to Trudy. Show us how you picture her. Show us what issues in life she's dealing with right now. And another component is how you see her at the end. And so we write these things down in that process. And then we share it among ourselves as a team right before the ministry session. So we do about 20 minutes of asking the Lord for, and then we also ask for the Lord for scripture that goes along with how he sees her, either at the end or the beginning. Usually people say, oh, I see her as really downcast. So we may look up some verses about being downcast or down, you know, being sad-hearted. And so we're actually prepared to do ministry with those biblical resources on hand. Sometimes people are given songs that they think they're going to be singing, which is really cool. And sometimes they're given pictures of storylines. Like they'll see them walking through a desert and walking into an oasis. Okay, so where is the person now? In the desert, and where are they going to walk into? An oasis or being restored. So it's very encouraging to us, especially when things happen where they're exactly saying the exact thing. Like, I feel like I'm in desert right now. I'm just really dry. I can't hear the Lord. You know, it's just like, oh, that's so good that we got that ahead of time. And so as a result, it's just really affirming to the people. In essence, we're learning a gift to hear the Lord. And sometimes that is really, really useful in a session. There was one time I was doing a 18-year-old young man, and he had come in because his mom wanted him to come in. And I'm just like, okay. So he said, and then I felt just like in my spirit, we're doing some like intro stuff and asking him how he pictured God. And all of a sudden, I felt in my spirit like he doesn't believe this really works. He doesn't really believe, you know, he just thinks he's going through the motions is what I heard. And so I said, do you feel like you're going through the motions on this? And he said, yeah. My mom told me I needed to come to this, and I've done it a number of times and nothing ever really changes. And so here I am. Okay. And is that going to be an ineffective ministry time? No, because he's not doing it out of his own free will. But then I heard the Lord say, okay, you have about 15 things that you wrote down in this slip of paper, and that is who he is. And so I'm like, okay. So I said, we have been praying for you before this ministry session. And so the Lord wants me to share the list of how he knows you. And we shared about 15 things, and by step 5 or 6, he was in complete tears. Because it was just speaking to the issues of his heart, to the point where he knew God had planned this amazing prayer time. And by the middle of the prayer session, he was just like, okay, we forgot this. Oh, and by the way, this is a really bad thing I've never shared with anybody, but I want it done with today. And so it was totally, totally transformative. But I never share anything about how they see that, or we see them in the prayer ministry session, unless it's confirmed during their prayer ministry time. Because we don't want to plant things that we may have wrongly gotten out of our own soulish nature. So usually we just use that as affirmation at the end, you know, or they came in and saying they're really dry, and we don't say, oh, yeah, we got that, and you're going to go into this oasis. We have them walk through the process, and at the very end, we'll say, what's so cool is that God gave us this picture ahead of time, and that now you're going into an oasis where you can expect to be nourished and fed and watered because of the freedom you've gotten today. And I really like the song that Mikhail picked today. He makes all things new. You are making me new. Because that is the process of what Sozo is all about. We are helping that person to have a renewed relationship, a new relationship with Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And so they walk in with hurts and wounds and lies, and sometimes they don't even know what they are or how to locate them or what they are all about, but the Lord knows, and he's going to walk them through the process. And so it's exciting, it's scary, but it's always good, okay? It's always good. So my name's Judy Slay. I'm with Nephros Ministries. I think most people were here last week. We're just going to do a little bit of review. Sozo means saved, healed, and delivered. It's used 110 times in the New Testament, and it's used interchangeably with what is being happening in the moment. So if somebody's delivered from demons, it is sozo, and so that would be a deliverance. If it's healing, they use the word sozo, and we translate it into the appropriate English word. What we want to do as prayer ministers is to love that person well, even though we feel like they are not at the point where they're completely free. We have to recognize, okay, this is where they were at, and they've made a little bit of progress to complete freedom. And so we encourage them and love them so that they're willing to walk out the freedom later on. Or they go from, you know, lots of bondage all the way to complete freedom, and we're just like sitting amazed, and they are too, and we're celebrating. And so you just have to take them where they're at and go on the journey as far as the Lord's going to take them during that ministry session. So love is always the end result. God speaks. We have that expectation from beginning to end. It is, and we make it really clear. We are not doing this. Who is doing this? God is. Okay? And the reason why during this prayer ministry session, we have people do repeat after me prayers, because what we're doing is we're actually equipping their Holy Spirit, or using this Holy Spirit within them to cast or get rid of or to cleanse or to find lies. Because what we're doing is we're training them so that they can walk this out in the days ahead. Okay? I'm still discovering lies about myself or lies I'm believing about God. And as he reveals them to me, and I'll say this to the prayer minister or the prayer person that's receiving prayer, in the days ahead, you might discover more lies that you are believing. And so as a result, because you've had the authority within you to get rid of all this stuff, you can simply do it on your own. Okay? Now, there might be a time where you really feel like, oh, I've hit a roadblock, or I just need help. I don't know how. Because sometimes lies are entangled like a knot in a rope or a ball of yarn. And you're just like, I can't find the end. I can't find the beginning. Where do I begin? I pull here and this gets, you know, tight. And so as a result, sometimes we need help in ministry to find how to untie things and to fix things. Okay? So we have captives and prisoners, and captives are things that have happened kind of beyond our control, things that have happened to us that we, in essence, may be a victim to, or we are in the wrong place at the wrong time. Captivity can also be through generational lines, and we're going to talk about that at the very end of the session. And so the captivity piece is pretty easy to get rid of because it's not rooted in a lot of guilt, shame, and condemnation. Okay, it's something that's just happened to us. Now, there may be related guilt, shame, and condemnation if the captivity has been a large violation of trauma. For instance, a person is raped. Okay, where would the guilt, shame, and condemnation come from? Well, obviously, they were violated, but they may be beating themselves up like, I should have not gone to this location, or I should have not trusted this person, or I should have not gone to that party, or I sensed that something was wrong and I ignored that sense. Okay, so you have to also be willing to look like, okay, they were captive, they were a victim, but at the same time, they may be having a lot of trauma and related negative emotions about they didn't protect themselves. Okay. Prisoners are things that generally they have walked into either deliberately or when they look back, they say, oh, I should not have done that, okay? And prisoners usually, there's four main doors that we check for prisoners. There's a lot other related pieces that kind of, but they mainly fit in four categories. Fear. And then anger, bitterness, and hatred are all one door together. And then sexual sin and the occult. And we will cover the doors next week. We're mainly going to be doing one tool today and then generational strongholds. Forgiveness is a command, and we always make that very clear at the beginning of the session, that even though you may not feel like forgiving somebody, it's important to realize that forgiveness is a command, and so we release that forgiveness. And as you release and get rid of that issue of unforgiveness, it gives you freedom from all those negative emotions. And that sometimes can be really hard. But as a ask for forgiveness for small things, we usually start with the small things, and then eventually you can peel away and realize, oh, I am feeling a sense of freedom as I forgive the small and get to the really big items. Okay. There's another piece that's important, because as you're going and doing ministry in the Sozo world, are you going to ask questions right away about sexual sin? Do they trust you yet? Okay. And so you have to gently use the intuition of the Holy Spirit and God to start. And so there are some ways to start and then gradually go into that. I had a Sozo, you know, within the last few weeks, and within 5 minutes, we were in the sexual sin door, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, so this is usually not how it goes, but it was a big issue from keeping this person to being able to sense God. He said, I see blackness all around, and all I see is white on the side. So obviously, there's this big black blob, and so we're asking, okay, what is it? And he said, it's porn. And so he, all of a sudden, that was the issue we had to deal with in the moment, because there was no way to get around it to do other ministry. So we asked, are you safe dealing with this okay? Are you feeling okay with dealing with this? And he said, yes, that's the main thing I want to deal with right now. So we just, in gentleness, started ministering that direction. But we have to trust, okay, God's going to lead it. So God, and right as we were dealing with porn, he says, I want it all out today. I want everything out today. So had God been preparing his heart to deal with this? Yes. And so he had supernatural freedom. After we dealt with that, he was just like, I think I have hope again. It's just like, yes. Okay, that's what we want. Okay. So spheres and colored lenses were two other things. These are all kind of basic foundational things that we covered last week. Shifting atmospheres is being able to sense what that person is carrying or what is happening in the room as you interact with them. You might, you know, if he had been, well, we could have sensed hopelessness when he was dealing with porn. Like maybe he'd tried many, 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 many times to be free. And he had an accountability partner and he'd gone through other things. And in the process, he was feeling hopeless. If I had picked that up, or one of our prayer ministers had picked it up, the prayer minister, one of the people that was partnering with me, could just start praying. We just dispel hopelessness right now, just whispering it, okay? But you could also pass me a note, because we remember did I talk about no passing? Yeah. Okay. They might also pass a note just saying he feels really hopeless. This has been a defeated area of, he hasn't had success. And so then I would ask him, so have you tried many things to be problem free of this? And he'd say, oh yes, you know, and then he could go through his list. And so I could then say, so are you sensing any emotions? And he would say, yeah, you know. But you have to let the Holy Spirit lead you in that process, okay? So shifting atmospheres is detecting, sensing things. It's always more effective for us to try to usher in the opposite atmosphere for what we're sensing. So instead of saying, I dispel hopelessness, it's always, Jesus, give us hope for this situation right now. So we can say, I see you, hopelessness, but we ask for the Lord to bring what he has in heaven down to earth, which would be hopelessness, hope, not hopelessness, or love, or peace, or joy, you know, all those fruits of the Holy Spirit, all the opposite of what we're sensing. There might even be chaos or confusion. And if there's a lot of chaos and confusion, I might even just pray on their brain. Sometimes I actually get up and, it's going to be my victim. I'll use me as my victim. Okay, and so I will put my hands in their heads and just say, we just ask for you to calm the storm, Jesus, right now. And we say to chaos and confusion to go so that they can hear Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit really well. And sometimes they'll even clap. It needs to go now, in Jesus' name. There's something supernatural. When you clap, it actually breaks wrong neurological processes, and it will establish healthy ones. And this is by Eiko Horman. She is a brain psychologist, a brain researcher. She's a Christian. She's done a lot of research. And so I'll be showing that later on as we deal with other stuff too. But pretty amazing. They say our brain is plastic. In fact, the newest research that I read in a biology book is they're amazed at the plasticity of the brain. In other words, the brain can be shifted and changed and morphed. And so SOZO is a perfect process to do that in. Okay? No. No. It's just saying that... that the neurological processes that have been really refined and really fine-tuned, and it might be, I used to have a hard process of reading because I learned two styles of reading in first and second grade, sight reading and phonics. Not good to try to combine the two. Okay, and so I was a slow reader, and so I asked for God to reconfigure my brain so it wouldn't have to go to sight reading and then find not success to go to phonics. And so it was doing this, and then I would have to think through, okay, what did I just read? And then I actually spent a lot of time reading, like for my master's thesis, and so as a result, I got over that. So now I can read a lot better. But so there's certain processes that might be zigzagging, intertwining, and not making an efficient pathway. And so sometimes we break those long processes and establish shorter, more efficient ones too. So I do educational SOZOs too, and that's another whole training. But it's pretty amazing what happens. Colored lenses, that's how we see life or how we operate through. Colored lenses, can any be anything of control? It could be habits of mind like anger. Whenever I see somebody or when I see my family, I have lenses of like contempt. But you usually ask the person, okay, so how do you see this situation? Fear is another one. And so in essence, we have them take off their lenses. Usually God will, or Jesus takes them, or we just remove those lenses of seeing life through a certain situation. And usually it's because of past occurrences that they see life through that. Like dysfunctional families, if somebody's always angry at you, and you come in and you're the person that's the isolated one and everybody's talking and gossiping about you, are you going to walk into a family dynamics with healthy eyes? No. You're going to be walking into that family relationship expecting to be the victim. You might walk in with self-pity on yourself because nobody cares. You have this sense of not caring. You might walk in with, okay, I'm going to be judged. And so you're going to be quicker to judge other people as a defense mechanism. Or you're going to be standing against the wall and just saying, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I'm not going to eat green worms, but I know everybody's eyes, mind was going there. But so in the process, if we identify that there's a habit of mind that they're functioning with many people with the same sort of habit, they're usually wearing lenses, okay? So we don't always ask, okay, Jesus, what lenses am I wearing? We'll just say there's a pattern here of you're trying to control your mom, You're taking care of all your brothers and sisters' problems. You're controlling your kids. You're not happy with your grandchildren. And your husband doesn't do anything right. Okay? And so there seems to be a pattern where you're judging and probably trying to control everybody. Do you feel like that's true? And they'll say, oh, yeah, guilty. And so therefore we'll ask God, okay? So then we'll say, are you willing to let that go? And the way they let it go is to renounce control and to take off those glasses of control and then ask Jesus for a new set of glasses to wear. Okay, and put those on, and I always have them ask Jesus, what are those new glasses I'm wearing? Sometimes it's rose-colored glasses, sometimes it's glasses of peace, and that I can be okay just taking care of myself. Okay? Any questions? Oh, there was a couple other things that I was reminded of this last week. One of them was a question about, okay, if they're not willing, they say salvation is sufficient enough that I don't need any gifts from Father God. According to Matthew 7, we can ask God for good gifts in exchange for getting rid of the bad. And that is prefaced right away before that by ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened of you. And then it talks, you know, your loving Father in heaven desires to give you good gifts. And he doesn't give snakes or scorpions, but he gives, you know, good gifts. And so that is as a God-given right for a believer to receive a good gift. If they're not willing to get anything above the gift of salvation, that means that they still have probably a root of unworthiness in them. They don't deserve any, they feel like they don't deserve any more. And so I wouldn't talk right there about it, but I would write that down. And then at the right time, we'd probably talk about it. Or I would say, Jesus, why don't I feel like I deserve gifts? That would be a really good follow-up question. And they would say, well, and then it could lead down a path of, well, I never got the good gifts of my family. Oh, so who do we need to forgive? Or I don't feel I deserve good gifts because there's so much guilt in my life because of this. So you have to kind of look and wait and see, okay, where is that root of unworthiness at? Okay. Or people are always calling me names in elementary school. So I was the unworthy one. I was the labeled one. I was the teased one. And so therefore they would have to do forgiveness issues. So as you can see, there is no right or wrong answer for any of those questions. There was something else. Oh, last week. So that was that. Another person asked, okay, because I gave a pretty detailed deliverance that I did with somebody. And they were just like, that sounded, you know, the impression of how I said it. Through that time, I kept asking them, are you okay? Do you want to continue on? Are you okay? Do you want to stop? And they kept saying, no, I want this thing out. I want to be rid of it. I want to be free. If they said, nope, I'm done. What do I have to do? I have to let them go. And just saying, okay, so now you've probably identified the ugly piece. Let's ask Jesus or Father God what he wants to say to keep you safe at this time. And a lot of times Father God will say, you know what? You need to be brave and get it out. We've identified it. Okay, so are you going to be strong enough? And it might be that you don't trust Jesus or Father God to do it right. Or they don't know what life is going to be like without this thing. And so, but you have to follow the Holy Spirit leading. Any other questions from last week? Be brave. Was I good enough review? Any more questions? Okay, so we're going to move on. So the next piece we're going to talk about, and it's just, I'm presuming most people have heard about the five love languages, but and this is on page, let's see, it's just mentioned on page 27, okay? And the five love languages are words, gifts, touch, acts, and time. And when your needs are not met through your love language, you might feel a lack of love. Or if your or you will operate out of your love language to show love to somebody else, but they might not feel love. So there's two ways to look at this. So wounds may happen even though they may have had a very healthy childhood. For instance, if their love language is touch, but their parents don't hug them and kiss them. Instead, their parents affirm them with words or give them gifts, spend time with them. They may still, even though they have this healthy family, they still have a wound because their love language hasn't been met. Okay? So that can be a real point of revelation. So people say, oh, I grew up this great family relationship, but, you know, there was something missing there. So then as we delve into it, what do I need to forgive my mom and dad for? And they would say, well, they didn't ever kiss me and hug me as a little kid. And so we don't dwell on what they did do, but we may at some point say, so how did my parents express love to me that I didn't receive? And so we have them do a forgiveness piece of, I forgive my mom and dad for not hugging and kissing me and showing me affection the way I needed to be loved. Okay? As a parent, you know, then you go back and analyze, oh, I probably didn't meet, you know, I have five kids and they all have different love languages. Okay? And it's a discovery route. And then you just think, oh my goodness, I probably messed up each one because I did, you know, did the same thing, you know, and discipline-wise too. You know, if this child is always spanked, you know, but never put in time out, you know, how does that mess up their love language, you know? So just be aware of that, okay? So I'm just going to show, so receiving gifts is one love language. And so we all identify that with that, that little girl or little boy goes out and picks flowers out of the garden that you wanted to have as beautiful stuff, or they pick dandelions and you think, oh, great, but they're actually trying to show their love language. Quality time, the top one is a good example, the bottom one is a bad example, okay? And so quality time is really being robbed by our society right now, especially with, you know, we go and we sit in a restaurant and everybody's texting, or I just saw on Facebook a friend saying quality time, and they have all three kids lined up and they're all playing their little video games independently sitting side by side. It's just like, no, you don't have it right, okay? And then words of affirmation. Spoken in love, not sarcastically, and genuinely is the truth. So you are kind, you are smart. They can either be words written or verbal. And acts of service. And this one says, today I'm taking the kids out so you can rest because I love you. How would you love that, a mother? That would be an act of service. And then I can identify with this one because I have acts of service as my highest. So Daryl, doing stuff for me, it just makes me feel so loved. Okay. Now I want to give you an illustration. Our family has four boys. Okay. And we had family photos done about a year and a half ago. And so we had, you know, each child lined up with the you know, I had all my kids pictures with me, and all of Daryl had all the kids had a picture with Daryl. And God said, you have a perfect illustration. We have one hugger in the family. Okay, so I'm going to show you the next picture and you figure out which one it is, which one loves, let's put it this way, which one has a love language of touch. Okay, oop, touch is next. Okay, so which one? So 1, 2, 3, or 4? 1, 2, 3, 4. This one. Look at how close they are, body to body. No difference in right there. Both look really happy. They're turning the heads towards each other. Isn't that so funny? So Matthew is our hugger. He walks in the door. I have to make sure to give him a hug so he feels valued. Okay. So, isn't that funny? And then, this is also a problem between couples. Another gift, why can't you just give me a compliment? Right? Okay. So even this can cause dysfunction within marriages, within friendships, etc. Everybody got that? Okay. Any questions? So that was just an awareness that even though a family might be functional, there might be a perception of dysfunction or not feeling loved because their love language has not been met. Okay. And likewise, between a couple, there might be somebody who says, my husband just doesn't love me. And he'll say, well, you know, sometimes you do two sozos separately in two different rooms with different teams. And both of them are saying, my husband doesn't love me. But they say, I reach out to them all the time. What is the conflict? Their love languages. Okay. And so then we will have them ask God, what is my husband's or wife's love language? And have I been operating in their love language or have I been operating in my own to meet their needs? And so that's a huge corrective piece right there. Okay. And then we'll ask Jesus, okay, so Jesus, you've just told me my wife's love language is words of affirmation. What things should I do to walk this out? And then we'll have them write down my wife's love language is words of affirmation. I should make sure I write notes to them or call them periodically and say, you're a wonderful cook. I love how you clean the house, or I love you because you have beautiful eyes, or, you know, anything that they feel that they can sincerely say. Okay? Any questions? So, finally, the tools to use. And I love this piece because we're actually going with the power of the Almighty God to make warfare. And do we know what we're doing at the time? No, but God does. And so we're kind of a blind warrior going and attacking the enemy. Isn't that a cool picture? Lisa, this is the one I talked about. Yeah, very cool. So the tools, page 29. Everybody turn there in your book or manual. So there's four different tools that you're going to learn in the basic training. As you get experience in these, there is advanced training you can take to learn some more tools to use. But I used these for probably a year and a half and had no worries, concerns about not feeling adequate. Each of these tools can be used independently, and even pieces of them can be used in the moment, okay? You may use all of them, or you might use only one of them, or you might even use a little tiny portion of one of them, just depending on what that person needs to deal with at that time. What we're doing is we're trying to discover wounds and lies in that person that they may not be aware of or that they've been operating in and they are aware of, but they don't want to let them go because they think they're healthy tools. But the truth is they're not, okay? So the first one is called the Father Ladder. It's a tool that clarifies the emphasis and the connection between the wounds and lies that they've learned from our childhood and our concepts and relationships with each member of the Godhead. Those wounds and lies can also be developed even in relationships in adulthood, but most of the time they're developed in the childhood. Let's say that you have an employer that does not, that your first employment situation was a disaster, and your employer was very judgmental and critical. And so all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, I should expect judgment from every single person that's in authority over me. And all of a sudden your picture of Father God in you are totally, he's the judge, he's the judge, he's the judge. And all he's looking at is me with his eyes of criticism. And so you would have to deal with that lie that, you know, God is judgmental because of my experience of authority here on earth. So those things, they can happen later on, but most of the time they happen in childhood. And our belief is that if we connect people firmly to the Godhead, they will leave in a healthy way. So usually this is a tool that we begin with, because if all we get through is establishing a good relationship with Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, then God's going to do a work in them walking out later on. Does that make sense? Because he's going to gently tell them what's going to happen, and they're not going to be fearful about it. They're not going to be angry about it, because they have such a good connection with the Godhead, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, that they're going to be willing to be open for correction. Okay? And we always say, how do you tell the difference between being judged by your own judgment versus God's judgment? God's judgment always comes with gentle conviction, with love, and usually a small voice. If it comes with guilt, shame, condemnation, and a very loud voice, it's probably the enemy trying to separate you from God, okay? We're trying to make you live by legalism, okay? So how do those lies come in? And I'm just going to give you a little overview. This was God's intention from the very beginning, is that he has truth. That truth then creates our belief system, and then our belief system affects our choices and our actions. And then those create our behavior, and therefore we should receive spiritual fruit and blessings. Okay? That was the God-given design. But as time has changed, the enemy comes, and what he does is he plants lies. Those lies create beliefs that would create actions and choices that then affect behavior, and we end up with cursing or bad fruit as a result. So if people are feeling this, we can then go back and say, okay, the behavior was wrong, and that's due to the choices, so the beliefs are wrong. So we really are getting to the root of where the wrong behavior is at, is because of lies, or this outcome is because they're believing a lie in their life. So that's why it's wounds and lies are the basic premise of why we do ministry. And according to John 10:10, the thief comes to try, kill, and steal and destroy us, but Jesus actually gives us life and gives it to the full. So that's a very good verse to use. Also, 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. This is a really good verse, because what it does is that we're actually God's servants. We're going to gently teach and lead those who oppose the truth. There might be times where they're just like, I don't know what the truth is. And so are we going to tell them what the truth is? Who knows the real truth? It's going to be God, okay? So Jesus, I am believing the lie that I'm unloved. That's really not, there's somebody that loves you on earth, right? Okay. Or God loves you, right? So Jesus, where did I first learn this lie? And they would say, it's because my father beat me incessantly from the ages of 4 to 15. Okay. And so, therefore, what we're going to do is, so then what is the truth? And does that, so I'm going to forgive my dad for that beating. And then I'm going to partner with the truth. And we always have them ask for the truth. And through this process, God changes their hearts so they will believe the truth. And they'll come to their senses and escape the devil's trap of wrong beliefs. And then they will no longer be held captive, and they will be free. And then may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, body, and soul be kept blameless until the day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. So sometimes those are offenses in our spirit, sometimes they're our soul and body. And for us, we say the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Okay? Yes. No, it isn't. So it's in extra stuff, handouts. You can just write the references on the side. Is there anybody who needs to go back? And so I've accentuated a little bit, because I really feel like it's important to have a strong biblical basis, right? Okay. The word is our, I was just reflecting, the word is our railroad track. The Holy Spirit is the power to get the train going. Okay. So according to Larry Randolph. So we all have needs, spirit, mind, will, and emotions, the soul, and the physical body. And so all of those are legitimate needs. Okay, that is how God designed us. We have we have physical needs. Our mind, will, and emotion has needs. Our soulish part has needs. And our spirit also has our needs. And so because God has created us to have that three-faceted part of our being, he has also created the family framework to meet those needs. So we are going to then look at how a family is designed according to Scripture to meet those needs. Okay, first of all, father figures generally provide identity, value, security, protection, and provision. So many times they are meeting the physical needs of safety and food, you know, a safe place to live, clothing to wear, things like that. Identity is, some people may have a family name that is really well recognized. Some people may have the family name of, my dad was a town drunk. Okay, does that devastate somebody? Yes. And so as a result, they may have identity and value problems because of them not having that reputation in the community, or that level of embarrassment was so deep that they believed a lie. Father figures can be anything from grandfather, uncles, male teachers, male bosses, pastors, and any male authority figure. And so that's an important piece to stay in place, because it may not always be a father issue. It might be somebody else has caused that to happen on them. Siblings and friends. Siblings and friends can be neighbors, schoolmates, teammates, cousins, spouses also fit into this category. They provide communication, friendships, an understanding of truth about yourself, and trusting relationships. And so we develop trusting relationships as we get older with friends. We understand more about ourselves as we discover that other people are different than us. Okay. So for instance, I discovered the truth about myself is I am not a hugger when I married my husband. Okay. Because he loves affection and hugs, okay? And so I learned the truth of, So as a result, I make sure he gives me hugs, or I give him hugs, you know? And so I've learned that truth, that I'm not a hugger. Before that, I was oblivious to it, you know? Friendships. We value friendships at the sibling and friends level more so in sharing our deep secrets with our friends in, you know, elementary school and high school, and communication. We learn how to communicate effectively, to respect people's feelings and things like that through friendships. Mother figure, mothers, grandmother, aunts, stepmothers, any female influence. It could be a female teacher. Generally provides nurturing, brings comfort, and gives you a sense of approval about yourself. And so if you have mother wounds, you may have problems with being able to feel comfortable in a situation, or that you don't feel like you've been taken care of, so you become self-protective. So how this all interplays together is, because father is to do these sorts of things, if these needs are not met, then we usually have a wound with Father God. Likewise, siblings and friends, if we do not have these feelings and worked well, then we will have a less of ability to relate to Jesus healthily, and the mother and the Holy Spirit is likewise. And so if we can find out from here how they envision Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we can see where there's wounds and lies they're believing. And usually they will be corresponding to each of these areas, okay? God designed us to be in a family because he wants us to have all of these needs taken care of. And if they're not taken care of in our family situation, then we tend to turn to God or blame God for not having them taken care of. So it's not necessarily 100% correlation, but there is a strong correlation as we do this, okay? And if you, I have pages of information on a scripture. So if you want to have the scripture that follow, that corresponds to these, I do have that on hand if you want to get a copy of it, okay? Just to have it scriptural backing, because in this book there is not that length of time focused on that. Does it make sense? Okay. So the steps in general are: ask the individual how he or she views one or more of the members of the Godhead, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, or ask what he thinks or she, he or she believes the Godhead thinks of him or her. Okay? Then have the individual forgive and bless the member of the family that corresponds with one of the Godhead. Have the individual renounce a lie that the Godhead will treat him or her the same way, and make sure the individual is able to accept the truth that the Godhead gives him or her. That's kind of the whole thing in a nutshell, okay? But there are certain steps and questions we're going to ask, okay? And what I'm going to do is do a little demonstrate. Nope, first I'm going to have you find a spot in your book where we can have you ask God questions. And then you're going to write the information down. So it might be in the very back. It might be in the front. It might be on one of those kind of blank pages with a heading. It might be on your handout. But you're going to need this information, so make sure you write it down. Okay? And for those people that have a sozo, or have had a sozo, you might discover, yeah, even a different image than you think. So just, everyone's doing this, okay? Yeah. Okay, so she said, so what page did you write it on? Okay, so she said to write it on the margin on page 36 so that when you go back and review, you can kind of see where the questions you were answering is related to that, okay? And yeah. Okay.
Good idea.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to have you close your eyes. And remember, you can hear, sense, and see God any way you want to. So you might actually get feelings on your body. You might see colors. You might see, you might be given a picture. You might give just sensations, like emotions. So there is no right or wrong answer. You're just going to write down what you get, okay? And so once again, I'm going to do a little prayer so that we are hearing God's voice really well. And so I'm going to say a prayer. So Father God, you know that we desire to understand our relationship with you, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we say to all distracting, lingering spirits here that would interfere with this activity to go right now, we silence the liar's voice so that he cannot speak. And we say, Father God, come and we consecrate our mind, willing emotions to hear and sense exactly what you want us to sense and feel and hear right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you can. We have been made clean through your blood, so we have this right and authority to do this. Now everybody repeat after me. Father God, how do I perceive or sense you right now? Then you're going to listen, and then you're going to write down whatever he gives you. Anybody need more time? Okay, so everybody's written down something? Or if you didn't get anything, it's okay to write down nothing. Okay, everybody okay with that? Okay, now, Jesus, repeat after me, Jesus. How do I see or sense you right now? Raise your hand if you need more time. And then repeat after me, Holy Spirit, how do I perceive or sense you right now? Okay, so we've done the first part right here, how he or she views one or more of the members, okay? If you did not get an answer to that, I'm going to have you ask, so if it's Holy Spirit, you didn't get anything, you're going to say, Holy Spirit, how do you see me, okay? Or Father God, how do you see me? Because that's another way to discover that relationship. So I'm just going to give anybody, you can just whisper it. It's important to speak it out and just say, is there any other things? Or you could just ask that question for each one of those right now, okay? Anybody need more time? Are we okay? Okay, so now you have all personally gotten some information, okay? And so now what we're going to do is we're going to do a demonstration of how to walk this out in healing. Generally, we'll pick the entity, Father, Jesus, or Holy Spirit, that they are closest to because we want to have a first really strong connection. But then there's sometimes that I just feel like we need to start with a big one. This is where you have to just ask, Holy Spirit, where do I begin? And go from there. Another piece that I use at the very beginning of the session is I'll say, how do you begin praying? Like if they use Father God or Jesus or Holy Spirit, or they have a very ritualistic way of addressing God at the beginning of the prayer, I will, that's sometimes a strong indicator of a problem also. If they always say, and so as they share that, as they get the information, I will have them speak it out. I tell them, I can't read your mind, and so whatever you sensed or felt, I'm going to have you tell me, and so I'll write that down. And I write it down because at the very end of the session, I may say, okay, you used to see Father God this way, and now at the very end, you see God, Father God, in a very different picture. Do you see how much you've been healed? And then it's really affirming to that person. Like there's a huge shift, okay? But if we ask them how they begin their prayers, we're also getting an indication, but also I tell them, I want to start your prayers the same way, the prayers that I may lead you in. So if they always use Jesus, then I'm going to use Jesus during the most of the prayer session because I want them to feel as comfortable praying out things as possible. So I'm a real respecter of that. And if they say, I really don't care, then I'll say, well, I'm just going to use liberty. And if at any point it doesn't feel right, you can just change the words that you want to change to make it feel right to you. So generally we will then, what lie am I believing about how I see this how I see Father God? Where did I learn this lie? Then I forgive the person, I renounce the lies, that God treats me the same way, and I ask what is the truth, okay? And then I'll let Father God interact with them after that, okay? We are going to use a demonstration, and then you're going to do this in groups of two or three to experience it around. I want my SOZO team that is experienced in doing this to stand up because you're going to be kind of the people. I'll have you do that later in just a minute. So, Lisa, you're going to be the person. So she's on my SOZO team. I was going to pick at you. Okay. And so you don't have to, unless you got a strange picture, you can make it up. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was sitting there.
So do you want to do Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit?
Well, okay, so the picture I got of Father God was the...
Oh, yeah.
Tell me. The picture I got of Father God was... this is kind of a fresh picture. I haven't had this before. But just that I just saw him observing, like, the entirety of, I don't know, everything that was going on. Then when you said Jesus and Holy Spirit, I kind of got the same thing. And Jesus was just busily moving about, doing several things, just really busy moving about. And Holy Spirit was just busily going in and out of Jesus doing that. So I don't know if we want to go from there or if we want to go with something that...
Okay. Occurred. When you saw Jesus or Holy Spirit... So I would ask this question. When you saw Jesus or Holy Spirit busily moving things around, how did you feel?
I felt that it was like Jesus was too busy to take the time, basically.
Okay. So we've just discovered a lie, haven't we? Okay. So repeat after me and close your eyes.
Okay.
So Jesus, where did I first learn this lie?
Jesus, where did I first learn this lie?
That you are too busy for me.
That you are too busy for me. It seems recent.
Okay.
Not in the past.
Should we do an older thing instead that goes back to childhood?
It doesn't matter. Are you willing to do this?
I'm willing to do this.
Okay.
Yeah. I just don't have all the answers like I like to have ahead of time.
In other words, she's really getting ministry now. Okay. So if she shares tears and stuff like that, we're going to love on her, right? Because she's being really transparent and open and vulnerable. Okay. We'll love her. Okay.
All right.
So, Jesus. Who do I need to forgive?
So, Jesus, who do I need to forgive? myself comes to mind.
Okay. So what do I need to forgive myself for?
What do I need to forgive myself for? Just for being lately in this season, being just so very busy that I just haven't taken the time to, I guess, give Jesus the quality time that I'm expecting him to give me.
Okay. So I forgive myself.
So I forgive myself.
For not taking the time.
For not taking the time.
To have a heart-to-heart with Jesus.
To have a heart-to-heart with Jesus.
I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
For being so busy because of life's circumstances.
For being so busy because of life's circumstances.
That I haven't taken time.
That I haven't taken time.
To rest and restore myself.
To rest and restore myself.
Jesus?
Jesus?
Is there anything else I need to forgive myself or renounce regarding this?
Is there anything else I need to forgive myself for or renounce regarding this? I renounce the lie that Jesus is busily moving about and I renounce the lie that I'm not significant enough for him to take time to set aside for me, I guess.
That's good. I renounce the lie that I'm insignificant in Jesus' eyes.
I renounce the lie that I'm insignificant in Jesus' eyes.
So, Jesus.
Jesus.
I renounce all these ungodly lies.
I renounce all of these ungodly lies.
And I say to that mindset.
And I say to that mindset.
That says I can't rest.
That says I can't rest.
And I don't have time to rest.
And I don't have time to rest.
I tell you to go right now through the blood of Jesus Christ.
I tell you to go right now through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
For not spending the quality time I need to with you.
For not spending the quality time that I need to with you.
And I say to guilt and condemnation regarding this.
And I say to guilt and condemnation regarding this.
I see you and I do not partner with you.
I see you and I do not partner with you.
Be gone now through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Be gone now through the blood of Jesus Christ.
And Jesus, I want to exchange truth for these lies I've been believing.
And Jesus, I want to exchange truth for these lies that I have been believing.
What's some truth you want me to know?
What is some truth that you want me to know? That he does not require me to do this, but I will find refreshing, refreshing and even joy for the tasks.
So Jesus, plant that truth deep in my heart, mind, and spirit.
So Jesus, plant that truth deep in my heart, mind, and spirit.
And let me walk out this reality.
And let me walk out this reality.
So how do I schedule time with you, Jesus?
So how do I schedule time with you, Jesus?
Yeah, good question.
So sometimes you need like a little, you know, ask them the other step. Okay, how do you process, how do you walk this out?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that thought that I've had for the last 20-some years. Of just do it at the very beginning of the day. Start the day this way.
Okay. So give me the willpower to do that, Jesus. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay. So give me the willpower to do that, Jesus, and the mindset that says that it's not going to put me an hour behind schedule.
Yeah. And Jesus?
And Jesus.
Is there anything else you want me to know?
Is there anything else that you want me to know?
About this.
About this. That maybe that it's a season.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Jesus walked me through that season.
So Jesus walked me through this season.
And I know your grace is sufficient for me.
And I know that your grace is sufficient for me.
And that I'm not going to be legalistic about this.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be legalistic about this.
But it's sure going to be fun with you.
It's going to be fun with you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So gentle, loving correction, right? Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to actually break into small groups and work through this. We're going to be in groups of two or three people. I would suggest spouses not be with spouses, okay? And that you then, you're just going to pick, we're actually going to do Father, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And so one person's going to be practicing being the leader. The other person is going to be the sozoe, the person that's receiving ministry, and the other person is going to write down, take little notes in their book of what they heard, you know, that sort of thing, so they have something to take away. Okay? And we're going to take a little break before we do this and an offering. I want my sozo team to stand up that's part of Nephros Ministry because they're going to be available. So that if you get stuck and you don't know how to do this, you're going to raise your hand and we can come help your team of two or three people, okay? So Daryl, Raleigh, Lisa, Phyllis, and Robin, okay, and me. So we'll be just roaming around. You can spread around in little groups and move about, okay? But we're going to, did Pastor Bob leave? You're right here. So he's going to do something first, and then we'll break into groups.
Yeah, we want to receive an offering tonight. For those of you who have never been to Higher Call, we usually don't have a registration fee for Higher Call or our conferences or most things that we do, but we believe strongly in God's ability to provide through love offerings. And Marcy and I often just ask the Lord, what do you want us to give? And sometimes if we don't agree, we take the highest number. So let's just do that. Father, we just ask you to show each of us how you'd have us to give tonight. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So I'm going to have, make checks out.
If you're making out a check, make a check out to Living Waters Church, yeah. Or LWC for short.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to break into group of three, but we're going to let everybody have a potty break too. And then we're going to come back at about 8:25. To wrap it up for the night, okay? So you can get up, move around, try to figure out who your groups are, go to the restroom, and get started. Okay, I am perceiving you all are not done yet. Is that correct? Okay. So what we're going to do, because I want everybody to leave in a healthy way, rather than maybe thinking, oh man, I haven't dealt with all three pieces, okay? So, how many people feel like they're finished with all three, or is there nobody? Okay. Okay, so what we're going to do is everybody's going to repeat after me. And then We'll do finish this as a group so everybody can leave healthy, okay? Is that okay with you? Okay, so is there anybody that has not done the Father God piece because of you just ran out of time for the people? Okay. Okay. So if you haven't, you're going to repeat after me. So, Father God, why am I believing the lie that has painted this picture? And Father God, who do I need to forgive? Now repeat after me. I choose to forgive them for warping my view of Father God. And I renounce a lie that you, Father God, would treat me in the same way. What is the truth? And now you're going to write that down. And then repeat after me. Teach me how to live with this truth in my heart, mind, and spirit. And if at any point you need more resolution, come and see us before you leave, okay? Let's do the Jesus piece, okay? Jesus, what lie am I believing about you? Where did I learn this lie? I forgive this person for warping my view of Jesus. And I renounce a lie that you, Jesus, treat me in the same way. What is the truth? And then write that truth down. Repeat after me. Teach me how to live with this truth in my spirit, mind, and soul. Okay. Last one, Holy Spirit. Am I going too fast? Are we okay? Okay, Holy Spirit, what lie am I believing about you? Where did I learn this lie? I forgive this person for warping my view of you, Holy Spirit. I renounce a lie that you, Holy Spirit, would treat me in the same way. I command every ungodly lie and spirit to go now. and I replace it with truth. What is that truth? Okay. If anybody needs help, raise their hand and somebody from our team will come to you. Another piece is we've just done like one little snippet of this exercise. So there may be many lies that you believe about Father God. Or there might be many things that you have. A lot of times people have Father God issues due to their earthly father. So we will just say, what do I need to forgive my father for? And they'll deal with one issue. And then we'll forgive and repent from believing the lies and partner with the truth. And then we'll say, is there anything else I need to forgive my dad for, or my father for? And we'll just keep going through until they run out of ideas to forgive their dad or father for. Okay? And then as soon as they've been able to, they've run out of things, then what we do is we check by seeing, can they bless their dad? If they can legitimately bless their dad in the right way, you know that they have been totally free. But if, like, they say, I bless my dad with salvation and with ears to hear me so he hears my voice, do they still have offense against him? Yes. Okay. So it has to be a legitimate blessing. Like, I bless my dad with time with me. I bless my dad with salvation. I bless my dad with love and peace. And if their dad is dead, because some people have their dad pass away, I will say, what would you like to bless your dad's memory with? You know, and so sometimes it'll just like, that we did have good times, you know, and so, you have to sometimes frame it that way, depending on loss and things like that. Sometimes, the enemy builds a huge case by dad, stepdad, boyfriend of my mom's, you know, and so all of these people, they have been father figures, and so they may have to spend a lot of time just dealing with the father image because they've got so much wounding, and the enemy loves to do that because then they've just cemented it in really strongly. And so you may end up spending half an hour just with the dad issue or God the Father issue because of all the lies they're believing. And sometimes they have to forgive themselves for being rebellious, okay? And so then there's a repentance issue. And it's because I'm going to get back at my dad because he treated me this way. Or it might be in the case of a young woman or even a young boy, I've had instances where their fathers have beat them or sexually molested them. And so we're doing the dad issue, but all of a sudden we have to go the sexual sin door because they were violated by their dad and they don't trust their dad. And so this is where it's kind of fluid and dynamic because you don't know what the issues are, but you need to just deal with it at hand and then use the tools. And you'll learn more tools throughout the next 2 weeks that will accentuate and bring that. Okay, we even have like, my dad killed my mom. Okay, so obviously a lot of hurt and trouble there. Okay, so where was Jesus in that whole instance? And so therefore you can bring healing just by showing what Jesus was at in that time of hurt. So that's why, so through the process, what we're doing is peeling away all the hurts and wounds from a father figure and establishing truth. And by the end, they will have a hugely different picture of Father God than at the very beginning. And that's where you see the healing, okay? There's one other little snippet, and that is replacing and getting a gift in exchange. You know what? We're going to finish it next week. Is that okay? I think so. So have a good week. Write down any questions you have about this. You could read through the notes. It explains a little bit more, but I feel like it's important for me to add more stuff than for me just to go through the book. Okay? So bless you and have a good weekend. Thank you, Jesus, for no snow yet, right? Amen.
Amen.
Although my snowboard is working.